Ace Podcast.
Hey, I'm Jess.
And I'm Sid.
We're the Beardy Five Podcast.
And you are listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone on the Ace Podcast Network.
Coming up on this episode, one reviewer claims the filling is the same one used in the Marshmallow Crispy Oreos.
Oh, they're cheating.
But with one major difference. It's bright pink and appears to turn your mouth and even your dung bright pink, too. Your dung.
When they arrived shortly after 2 p.m., they found the body of 57-year-old Aurora Bowl Smith. Police found
Did they find her as a vampire? No, they wouldn't have found her body if she was
Don't
outside.
They deflate or
she
something?
She would deflate.
Yeah, something in the sun?
No, they explode or something or catch on fire.
Police. All this and more on this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
10, 9, we have ignition sequence start. Engines on.
3, 2, 1.
Hey there, this is Craig.
Hey, this is Aaron.
Hey, guess what? You're listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone.
And this is the podcast that brings you the best in weird news, strange stories, and funny stuff. And we do it twice a week.
And
yes,
we've got a brand new phone number.
We do have a phone number.
Not a brand new one. We got the only one we got.
The phone number is area code 629-888-2896.
That's 629-888-2896. That's 629-888-2896.
And now for the news.
Top story. Okay. The latest... Okay, ready? I would say headline is, but that's your thing.
That's right.
Peeps Oreos have a rather unfortunate side effect.
Bad taste?
I haven't had them.
I don't like Peeps.
Well, okay, you've established
it's
that.
It's like a sugar cube.
Lay off
soft
of them, all right?
Marshmallow.
The latest cream flavor to come out of something called the Oreo Wonder Vault.
Oh, I want to be in there.
I do, too. I want to just be lost in there for a while.
We could break in.
I wouldn't fit out of the door when we came back out, though.
You have to get somebody who can break into a vault.
I hope there's plenty of insulin in there.
Ooh.
Anyway, it's left consumers wondering why their poop suddenly looks like it could have come from a unicorn.
Oh,
what does that
Squatty
even mean?
Potty.
I don't know. What does that mean, though?
If Squatty Potty sponsored us, this would be the perfect time.
It would be. 2 weeks ago, Oreo released the limited edition version of its cookie with a vanilla shell and filling flavored like the love it or hate it marshmallow candy Peeps. One reviewer claims the filling is the same one used in the Marshmallow Crispy Oreos.
Oh, they're cheating.
But with one major difference. It's bright pink and appears to turn your mouth and even your dung bright pink, too. Your dung.
I wonder how many people called the emergency room before they realized it was just the Oreos.
I don't know. My spit looks like Pepto-Bismol hours after eating the cookies, one Twitter user complains, per Delish. Adds another, my roommate ate a whole pack of Oreo Peeps and left pink stain in the toilet.
Yuck.
Indeed.
Tiny Bowl ain't going to fix that.
Unless it comes in a pink variety. Indeed. Some who ate a lot of the cookies said the dye turned their feces various shades of pink from bright pink to reddish pink.
Oh, you know what it was? It was a fecal surprise.
Fecal surprise.
BuzzFeed employees who ate only one cookie said their bowel movements were no more colorful than usual. While Oreo has yet to comment, USA Today previously reported that stuffing your face with foods heavy in dyes can produce a greater spectrum in your rectal rainbow. Write that down, rectal rainbow.
I don't want a greater spectrum of anything.
I know. In 2015, for example, people who ate Halloween-themed Burger King Whoppers with the black buns complained that its concentrated dye made their excrement as green as the Irish countryside. Top of the day to you. A doctor at the time suggested it was nothing to worry about. Reddish stool. Reddish stool should be checked by a doctor, though, as it could be the sign of internal bleeding.
That I knew.
This is just an uplifting story all the way around.
Wow.
Round like an Oreo.
Yeah.
What?
Headline is, it's another cockroach story. We got to come up with a cockroach theme because we seem to have at least one an episode. Brazilian scientists are making bread from dead cockroach flour. You gonna try that? You can
give no.
You toast up a slice of that?
I don't think so.
Would you eat a dead cockroach?
No.
Probably not.
Unless I was starving in the middle of nowhere.
In fact, neither would Brazilian scientist Andressa Lucas and Lauren Meningon.
Meningon.
But in a final research paper for their food engineering degrees, the young scientists chose to explore the nutritional possibilities of insects. You know, they use insects in red velvet cake. There's bugs in there.
Are you kidding me?
No.
That's why I don't like it.
Yeah. In this case, the rich protein content of cockroach flour. Lucas and Meningon picked the cockroach because it has the highest protein content, nearly 70%.
Crickets weren't good enough for them.
Furthermore, cockroach flour actually has 40% more protein than regular flour. The insect flour also contains 8 of the 9 essential amino acids.
And diseases.
It's got good fatty acids, too. For example, omega-3 and 9. Finally, scientists can use practically all of the flour without any residue left over. You know, I might try it. Why not? The cockroaches used for the flour come from the laboratories where they undergo full inspection by the Brazilian Health Authority.
So that seems to be a contradiction right there.
They're very clean cockroaches.
To be one of the filthiest animals on the planet.
Of course, people Hey, I didn't have one living in my house, buddy. Of course, people still hesitate before eating the insect bread. But once they do, it's actually quite different to taste the difference.
Quite
difficult to taste the
difference. To read the word difficult.
I've been laughing so hard I got tears in my eyes. In fact, adding 10% cockroach flour to an average bread recipe increases protein content by 50%. Meanwhile, the difference in taste is imperceptible. Now, after a successful run with cockroaches, Brazilian food engineers are turning to crickets and mealworm beetles.
Turning to them? They were already, that was already established.
Yeah, I know. I think you even mentioned that.
You and I say to that?
What?
No. Okay, you know I like the claw machines.
Sure, who doesn't? The claw.
I don't know, the claw always rips me off, but I love to go there if I want to lose money and walk off sad.
I don't know that I've ever played one. I know the kids have.
You just haven't lived.
No,
until
maybe
you've
I'll
lost
try it.
About $5 or $10 and walked away with nothing.
Or a 50-cent trinket.
Yeah, something that cost them a quarter. Big win at the claw machine leads the police. I still am having trouble with this. We went through all that again.
It's okay.
Let's just keep going.
Just go.
Big win. Here we go. Ready?
Ready.
Here we go. We're not even going to cut all that out. You know why?
Why?
Because we're transparent.
Sure.
I can see straight through you. Yeah. There you go. Big win at the claw machine leads to police investigation in South Korea.
Hey, I wonder if this is the same guy that owned that arcade that we called that time.
Yeah, that guy.
The hamsters? Was he giving away hamsters?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, hamsters.
The art of claw craning, which is apparently a thing, recently made headlines when an all-too-successful attempt at a claw machine arcade led to a formal police investigation in Daejeon, South Korea. And I have no idea if it's pronounced Daejeon.
Daejeon.
I have no idea.
They make the mustard.
Local police the South Korean city recently had to deal with a remarkable theft case.
Really?
When they received a report from the owner of a claw machine shop that all 210 plush toys out of his arcade's 5 claw machines had disappeared.
Somebody cleaned them out. They went in there and took every toy out of the 5
amazing.
Claw machines.
They're like you. They're very small people.
They could just
crawl right
in.
Climbed right in. The case made it to the news in South Korea and was also reported by various Chinese media, because they made most of it, on Weibo, where it soon triggered thousands of reactions. According to the police report over the claw machine mystery, the toys had an estimated total value of $2 million.
Good grief. $2.1 million. Oh, wait, that's all you.
I don't know what that number's supposed to be in U.S. dollars, but it ain't worth all that.
1,820.
It's not worth all that. The incident happened at a time when no shop assistant was present at the claw machine arcade. After police investigated the case by looking at security cam footage, they discovered that the plush toys were not stolen, but were legitimately grabbed by two skillful 20-year-old South Korean men.
Ah.
They succeeded in grabbing all the toys within a time frame of 2 hours.
Good grief. Those were good. They knew
the
claw.
They beat the system.
They knew the claw.
The claw machine hall has a fee of around $8 U.S., which allows players to operate the claw a total of 12 times. If the men would have succeeded in grabbing all toys within one attempt, it would have cost them approximately $140. According to Sina News,
yeah, Sina.
Seen it before. most people usually need around 20 to 30 attempts before succeeding in grabbing a toy with the claw. But the local police investigation pointed out that the two men from Daejeon only needed one or two attempts to win a toy. In a police interview, the two men, they had to be interviewed with the police for winning fair and square.
Yeah.
The two men declared that they had found a fixed method to operate the joystick because they paid money for all their attempts, did not damage an arcade, any arcade material, and legitimately won their prices. That's what it says. It says won their prices. They cannot be held accountable.
No, they won them.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, you put your money in, you get a chance at the claw.
Now, if this was North Korea, they'd be shot dead.
In other news, there's five claw machines for sale in South Korea.
Yeah.
Cheap.
Yeah.
Hey, Craig, this is the story you brought us.
I know. You know what you didn't say?
What?
Headline is.
Headline is. That's because I hadn't read the headline yet.
You haven't introduced it.
You brought us. Headline is, man says he stabbed his mother to death because she was a vampire, and he was a werewolf.
Self-defense, man. Self-defense.
Officers and firefighters were called to a home.
You said, officers and firefighters.
In the 1500 block of McKenzie Avenue Sunday. When they arrived shortly after 2 p.m., they found the body of 57-year-old Aurora Bowl Smith. Police found
Did they find her as a vampire? No, they wouldn't have found her body if she was outside.
Don't they deflate or
something? She would have deflated.
Yeah, something in the sun?
No, they explode or something or catch on fire.
Police found Sheenan Smith, the woman's 29-year-old son, in an upstairs bedroom of the home. Bellingham police say Smith made several statements. One of them was, oh.
One of them was, arr,
arr. Including one to the effect of, I stabbed her. And he told officers that he had called.
He's a man of very few words.
911.
He's a dog of very few words.
The man was transported to the police department for an interview, but they just kind of let him run beside the car because they didn't want to get fleas.
They put him on a runner. He just ran back and forth.
Based on information he provided, a knife believed to be used, the one in the stabbing was found in the home.
To use the one in the believed?
You know why they knew it was the one? Because it was made out of wood. Police say that's true. Yeah, police say Smith made numerous attempts, statements to officers and detectives about why he stabbed his mother, including a statement that he was a werewolf and his mother, well, she was a vampire.
Self-defense, man.
Smith was booked into Whatcom County Jail for investigation of second-degree murder.
And much love for the sesh.
He's scheduled to appear in court Monday.
I just did a throwback there.
I did. You did.
Much love for the sesh.
Yes.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
Ready?
Go.
Man on LSD calls police, says spider gave birth in his stomach.
Wow. And he's concerned about that.
He's like, get out of my belly.
He's really concerned.
This happened in Ohio. A Facebook post from an Ohio police department about a call they got from a man on drugs is going viral because of the bizarre nature of the call. According to the South, is it Ulslid?
That's how I pronounce it.
I'm going to pronounce it Ulslid.
I said
useless. According to the South Useless Police Department, a 19-year-old man called just before 9 p.m. last Thursday saying he swallowed a pregnant spider that had given birth in his stomach. He said baby spiders were crawling out of his mouth and he could feel all eight legs crawling around his throat, in his throat.
Ooh.
Police later discovered that the man had ingested LSD just an hour before. He was transported to a local hospital for treatment. If this Facebook post doesn't convince you not to partake in the use of drugs, nothing will.
Yeah.
Police wrote on their Facebook page.
Ooh, that's scary.
That's pretty... At least he wouldn't hopped up on bath salts.
He thought
he turned into a spider and started eating people.
That's right. Exactly.
Remember that time you were hopped up on bath salts?
I've never been hopped up on anything.
That's right. You don't ever take baths.
Headline is, someone tried to impersonate the Nickelback drummer to buy $25,000 in microphones.
Why?
Really?
Not why would you want the microphones. Why would you impersonate the Nickelback drummer?
A man in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Oh, hang on.
In Florida.
A man in Port St. Lucie, Florida, was arrested Tuesday, February the 28th, for allegedly impersonating Nickelback drummer Daniel Adair. The imposter...
Talk about low self-esteem.
I'm telling you. The imposter, 45-year-old Lee Howard Koning, used Adair's name to order $25,000 worth of microphones from a company in Vienna, Austria. He then had them shipped to a Florida address.
Send in the microphones.
The police were first notified on January 19th by a security specialist that Koning had used Adair's name. Koning, who is apparently in a band or some kind of musical project called Mr. Wookie, discovered that he has the same drum setup as Adair and went for the old switcheroo, Craig.
Oh, no, the classic switcheroo.
According to the story, a representative for the band contacted Adair about, hey, man, what are you doing buying all these microphones? Who confirmed?
What are you doing with the microphones?
Who confirmed he was not the one ordering the microphones from Australia.
His manager, it wasn't Australia. It was Austria.
His manager said, you know, we do much better if we don't have microphones. The crowds love it.
Yeah, they love it, but they can't hear us.
The New York Daily News reports that Koenig had been busted for fraud once before and sentenced to 2 years in jail for a $50,000 scheme. The Mr. Wookiee Facebook page, one of the websites affiliated with the imposter, alleging that Koenig is a Sony Epic Sessions touring and multi-platinum award-winning drummer who has toured with such artists as the Beach Boys, Bertie Higgins, Rick Derringer, Billy Joel, Tito Puente, the Saturday Night Live band, and many others.
But not Nickelback.
So he just finds bands and puts their name on there.
Right.
The Facebook page also says he was born in 1771.
Oh, so he's old.
That guy's up there.
You actually found somebody who can reminisce with you.
He should steal
words
some,
are hard.
He should steal some hearing aids instead of some microphones.
I could use a hearing aid.
The lesson here, don't impersonate the Nickelback drummer, even for personal gain,
or
Craig.
Just don't, because it's the stupid. Worst thing you could do. French police sniper accidentally shoots two people during Hollandaise speech.
Coulé boom boom.
That's it. You've spent it now. That's all you got. All right. Is that Hollandaise?
Yeah, it is.
You think so?
Yeah.
I want to make sure. Here we go.
It's the Hollandaise season.
Like a Hollandaise sauce?
Right.
Oh, nice. A police sharpshooter. He's a really smart guy that can shoot.
That guy's sharp.
Yeah, he is. I guess not.
Oh.
He accidentally fired his weapon during a speech by President François Hollandaise of France, injuring two people. That's what it says. France's socialist leader was in the midst of a speech in a marquee to inaugurate a new fast train line in the western town of Villeneuve, when a shot suddenly rang out, briefly interrupting the speech and causing a commotion.
Calais boom boom, literally. Boom boom,
because guns go boom.
Yeah. Calais boom boom.
Are you done?
Yes.
Despite the shot, once his security team concluded he was in no imminent danger, Mr. Hollandaise continued talking, saying at one point, I hope it's nothing serious.
Gunshots. Oh, I hope that's not serious.
Yeah, I hope it's nothing serious. In fact, a police sniper stationed outside the marquee where the speech was taking place had unintentionally opened fire while changing position.
He just got up to move and
someone's looking for a new job. One local report said the safety catch was unlocked and the gun discharged. Again,
yeah.
Looking for a new job.
That's how it happens.
One bullet passed through the thigh of the head waiter.
At least
of
it
a
wasn't
local
the
hotel.
Head of the thigh waiter.
Right.
That would have been deadly.
And ended up in the calf of an employee of a railway maintenance company, according to some guy named Pierre.
And the head waiter said, we could use that calf. We're out of beef.
Anyway, unconfirmed. Local media reports said that the sniper shot himself in the foot and could... How did this guy become a sniper?
It's Barney Fife.
How did he become a sniper?
It's El Barney Fifeo.
Wait, we are talking France.
Oh.
All right. After finishing his speech to inaugurate a new train line linking Paris to Bordeaux in 2 hours to be opened on July 2nd, Mr. Hollandaise went to see the injured parties and laugh at them.
Aha, I see you have a boom boom.
Anyway, they were taken. Okay, here we go. Let's get to the bottom line here.
Yeah,
ready?
Go ahead. Get
the sniper... was on high ground when the shot went off accidentally. We heard the noise. The president continued his speech.
Yeah, don't bother that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. After he came back down and entered the next room to talk to people and to see the injured, he spoke to them for a bit and left as planned. And investigation, blah, blah, blah.
All right.
Silly French.
Headline is, deputy looking for Cowan Road hits Cowan Road.
Found it.
A Kennebec County Sheriff's deputy was out looking for a cow, reportedly in the roadway outside.
Did you say reportedly?
I did. Reportedly in the roadside outside Mora, Minnesota, late Monday.
Hope he took a picture.
Deputy Daniel Stephen Schultz, age 30, was searching on Minnesota 23 around 10 p.m. after dispatchers received a report.
What was the other team score?
Of a cow
that was
in the
Minnesota
road.
Was 23.
According to the Minnesota
Come
State
Come on,
Control,
I tried to make a sports joke and you won't
funny.
Even let
I'm
me.
I'm trying to
you,
finish my sentence
But I
want
to, you know, if I take the time to act like I care about sports, could you at least act like you care about me acting like I care about sports?
He unexpectedly encountered the cow about 10:13 p.m. As the deputy
he
was-
He pulled up, he went, Merv!
As the deputy was making a second pass through the area, the cow ran out of the ditch and the vehicle struck it. Airbags deployed in the squad car, but that didn't help the cow. Schultz was taken to First Light Hospital in Mora, but was released Monday night. The squad car likely is totaled.
The good news is everybody's having steak.
Yes, the cow, unfortunately, was totaled as well. It's not.
He was immediately dispatched.
It's not uncommon for deputies in the rural county about 70 miles north of St. Paul to respond to reports of livestock and other animals in the roadway, Smith said.
It's not really out of the ordinary anywhere.
No, it's not. I'd have to say that this is the first time I've ever had them hit the animal they're looking for, Smith said. But then again, that's exactly why we go to look for them. To hit them? That doesn't make sense.
They said look for them.
Yeah. I've been to too many serious accidents and even fatalities caused by livestock in the road.
I heard a pretty gnarly one. It was here in Tennessee, I think. Yeah, a guy was in one of those little, anyway, cow in front of him going down the interstate.
Oh, yeah.
Did not end well
yes,
for either.
I've heard of stories.
But everybody had steak.
or steak tartare. Depends on where you were sitting.
Yeah. Hope nothing got mixed together.
Ooh.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Okay, ready? Oh, I said that already. Oregon Library offers Adulting 101 classes to millennials.
I've got a millennial. I've got two millennials.
Really?
Yeah, one of them's right here.
I don't consider myself a millennial.
I don't think you. I don't think you consider yourself. I think your date you were born considers you that.
I don't want to be associated with millennials.
I don't blame you, actually.
I don't consider myself a Gen Xer either.
They're a horrible lot. No, Gen Xers are kind of cool, though.
Not really. I'd rather be like, before that.
You're old enough. That's why you don't consider yourself a Gen Xer, because you don't fit in the category.
I don't.
An Oregon library has launched a new program to help young adults fend for themselves once they leave home. Adulting, as the kids call it, is hard. I say that daily. I can't adult. Adulting is very hard. But the North Bend Public Library is making it a little easier. On the first class of Adulting 101, we cover basic cooking skills that you can do in your dorm.
This is how you boil water.
And you
like
go
that.
To, and the thing is, you're in college. Shouldn't you know how to do that?
Don't they? All they eat is ramen noodles.
Yeah, that's right. We also talked ways to stretch your dollar. Is it like a magic trick? In the grocery store, and how you can get the most bang for your buck.
I want to take this class just to see how ridiculous it is.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty sad. I mean, they just need everything. They just.
Yeah. Hey, how about you kiss up to that mic a little so we can hear you?
Yeah.
Ready?
Yeah.
The class was taught by a library aide, but how did she become an expert in adulting? I also lived in a dorm in my first year of college, and I lived in varied apartments, some of which didn't have kitchens and didn't allow you to have kitchen supplies.
So I ate a lot of pizza.
Lots of pizza.
What if it's a class I'm calling for food?
So I left home not really knowing how to cook and end up getting very inventive and teaching myself a lot of these tips.
Okay, so Sarah's here. Sarah, what do you think about starting a podcast called Adulting 101?
I kind of like it, to be honest.
What do you think, Craig?
Sure.
It could be our first.
She could maybe teach you.
What do they call it when a sitcom springs into a new sitcom?
It's a spinoff.
It could be our first spinoff, Adulting 101.
You know what
would
also be really neat that would really go over really well? Letting me read the rest of the story. One parent who brought his kids to the class appreciated the tips. I just think it's important for children to learn these kinds of things from someone other than their parents because sometimes they don't listen to the parents. It's actually give a lot of good information for the kids to use.
Sounds like a personal problem.
I don't want to. I think they're the ones that need the lesson.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. They're not parenting.
We felt it was important to bring Adulting 101 to the North Bend Public Library to provide more resources for young people on how they can better their lives in our community, Lucas added.
Lucas.
The program is primarily aimed at those 16 to 25 years old. The next Adulting 101 class is scheduled for March 18. That session will cover financial know-hows. Future classes will feature topics like getting a job, finding real news online, and cleaning an oven. I think this class may be more of the problem than the solution.
I think cleaning an oven would be the most useful. I think they should teach that one.
That one is tricky because it's not something you do every week.
And it's not like an oven's got a button on it usually that says clean.
And then you can like shut it on them and start it whenever they're inside cleaning it.
And for the millennials, they even build in a safety feature. The door locks.
Yes.
So they can't climb into it and get warm.
That's true. Or out. Yeah.
Hey, let's go to Canada.
All right, Craig, you say you want to go to Canada?
I guess so, eh?
Headline is, Ontario man forgot he hid $100,000 in cash inside his TV for 30 years. Then it was found in a scrap heap.
Wow. It's like we talked about trucks overturning with peanut butter.
Yes.
I don't get behind those trucks.
I've never found like a Picasso at a garage sale hidden behind an old picture of somebody's family either.
Although I had a pretty good weekend at the $5 store.
Oh, you did.
We haven't talked about the $5 store on here.
We haven't.
Just imagine a treasure hunt where everything is $5.
Even like iPads and whatnot and what have you.
Whatever you find.
Cha-ching.
Yeah.
When the employees of an Ontario recycling plant cracked open the wooden frame of a worthless, broken-down television set.
I can't say it would qualify as worthless.
No, from the 1980s, they found the real treasure inside. The television had been sent for recycling a year ago and made its way to the scrap heap at Global Electronic Processing in Brary, Ontario.
That is amazing. How do you forget that you put $100,000 inside of a TV?
I think it's funny that
he must have died.
I think it's funny they sent it for recycling and it ends up at the trash heap.
Does it say? Let's find out if he's still alive. Yeah, really. Let's find out if he's still alive because I wonder if the guy died.
The crew ripped it apart on January 13th. Inside,
no, wait. I'm jumping ahead. He's alive.
Inside, they found $100,000 in $50 bills. The man who put it there more than 30 years ago had forgotten he hid the large cash inheritance from his parents within the TV. Craig, how do you forget something? Maybe he's dementia.
Why don't you go hide it in a bank?
Maybe he's like...
Not 30 years ago. Had a concussion? Not 30 years ago.
In a lapse of memory...
He was 38 when this happened.
The man actually gave the television with all the cash inside to a friend who years later brought it to the recycling depot where he's now kicking himself for not looking inside the television.
How many times did that guy walk past the TV, like trying to pay bills, going, if I could just come up with the money, if I could just magically find the money.
If I could have $100,000, everything would be happy.
I know, if I could just find $100,000.
It wasn't like he was hazardous with his money. He probably thought it was under the mattress.
Wait, it wasn't like he was hazardous with his money? What does that mean?
He threw it away. That's
but
pretty hazardous.
Hazardous with his money. That seems like the wrong adjective.
It's surprising how compact $100,000 in 50s is, said GEEP's Vice President of Operations.
No, that's Keep.
Lou Coffin.
Lou Coffin?
Is that Lou Coffin?
That's Lou Coffin.
That's
old man Coffin's boy.
Yes. Barry police reunited a 60-year-old man.
No, actually, Lou.
Yeah,
Lou. He killed his mom recently.
Oh, wow.
She was a vampire.
Barry police reunited a 68-year-old man from Bolsover, Ontario, a village of about 400 people in the Kawartha Lakes region, with the cash, using banking records from 1985 to trace the owner. That was smart police work, and that was good. Because those people could have said, look what we found, let's split.
How do you trace banking records to find a person if it's just a pile of cash?
Surely they had serial numbers or something. I don't know.
Okay, wait.
Oh, so this, you're
break,
thinking.
Break this down.
You're thinking this.
I die, I give you money, right?
Yeah, thank you.
And I say, okay, and you go to the bank and you withdraw $100,000.
This Craig said I could have this.
Well, it doesn't matter. You show up and say, here, I got a note from this guy here.
Just give me
this official says, here's my $100,000. Okay, how would you like that? I want it in 50s.
Yeah.
The teller's not writing down serial numbers. She's giving you your money.
Yeah, but maybe they had serial numbers in the drawers from that day, and they just traced it back, and it's the last time that money's been seen. I don't know. What do I look like, a detective?
No.
What do I look like, Wigglesworth?
You look like a leprechaun.
This is a unique situation.
Wait, if you're a leprechaun, you'd be dealing in gold.
That's true. Where a large quantity of money was missing without anyone knowing it was missing. Is it really missing? If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it,
is the tree full of $100,000?
Yes. In his mind, he thought it was still chocolate bar again. Oh.
$100,000.
So he thought that the money was still somewhere in his house. He thought he had hid it somewhere else besides the TV. When the GEEP...
Something just spooked your daughter. What happened?
It sounded like an explosion at the studio, didn't it?
Oh, you know what? We were blasting putting your office in.
Is there a heavy metal band recording somewhere here?
No.
When a GEEP employee removed the back of the television, the cash box holding the bills was immediately visible. Well, look at there. Coffin said the money was counted.
I thought it was a tip.
Although it was so old, a cash counting machine couldn't do the job, and kept in a safe until police arrived to collect the following week.
So I guess if anything was left of it at all, it was fragile.
Yeah.
But as long as it was intact, I guess it was worth.
Yeah.
It'd still be worth it.
I would think so. Because the television was given to them, there was no requirement for the plant's employees to turn the money inside over to the police. The whole company brand is built on security and integrity.
Kind of got him against a wall on that one.
Said Coffin, who added Jeep has found...
No, it's Keep!
Had found smaller cash amounts hidden within stereo speakers and computers they recycle. I'm going to go to Canada and just start collecting old electronics.
The last line.
If it comes to Geep, we'll return it.
If it comes to Keep! At the sound of the Geep!
Please leave your cash.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
The question is Flaz Chakas ready?
It's the Flaz Chakas top 10. just got a little out of your daughter over there. She flash check.
Studio audience chuckled.
Top 10 worst albums to go platinum.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
So that means top 10 worst albums that sold so many copies. It went past bronze. It went past silver. It went past
gold. Yep.
It went to platinum.
It's a platinum record.
It sold
And we've
lot.
Got the top 10. You know what the number 10 is? Number 10, Let's Talk About Love by Celine Dion.
Okay. And honestly, it's subjective, right?
I guess, yeah. It came from that website.
I mean, no, it's
oh, yeah,
I mean, it's
yeah.
subjective.
Her fans would say that didn't belong on the
I mean,
list.
That's not really fair. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and jump ahead and say the last three I'm going to agree with.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 10 was Celine.
Yep.
Number 9, Please Hammer, Don't Hurt 'Em.
I'm going to disagree.
MC Hammer.
I love that album. Number 8, Yourself or Someone Like You by Matchbox 20.
Now, hold on. What's his face from Matchbox 20? Matchbake. I said Matchbake 20. What's his name?
I don't know.
Rob?
Thomas.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Fantastic voice.
He does have a great voice.
I think that guy's a great vocalist.
Okay.
I'm not saying the album's good, just saying.
I actually like that album, yeah.
No, I think he's fantastic. And there wasn't a lot of good in the 90s as far as I'm concerned. So.
Nope.
Number 7?
Yep.
Human Clay. By Creed.
And I enjoy that album, oddly enough.
I was not a Creed person at
all. I didn't dislike them.
I actually had someone tell me one time that was the only band that made them physically angry.
Number 6.
Oh, this is going to cause some letters.
No Fences.
Wait. This is not our list. Let's remind everybody.
That's right.
Please calm yourself.
We are in a studio near Nashville, Tennessee, but number 6 is No Fences by Garth Brooks.
Wow. I couldn't tell you if it's good or bad.
Yeah, me either.
Okay, number 5.
Yep.
No Strings Attached, NSYNC.
Don't know that I've ever heard anything
Don't like
off of
NSYNC.
It.
Don't listen to them.
Number 4, Devil Without a Cause by Kid Rock, which I enjoy that one.
I will say, that dude, I don't like his music. I'm not going to buy his music, but he's won me over. He's kind of patriotic.
I like his
I like
Sweet
the guy.
Home
you know
Alabama
what?
Song.
He loves America, by golly.
Oh, he's a you know what he is? He's a good American.
Yeah, he's an American. Yeah. He lives here in town somewhere.
He lives in Franklin, Tennessee.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
Number 3.
Yeah.
The Dark Horse, Nickelback.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
there's
one belongs.
Not really
Yeah,
anything.
You can't argue with that.
I don't think. I mean, the only thing would be better than Nickelback at number 3 would be Nickelback at number 2.
Number 2, The State by Nickelback.
Oh.
Hey, they got 2 in this list.
Yeah,
back to
no,
back.
No, they got 3. Number 1.
What?
Back to back,
back to back.
I think the replacements actually said something about back to back to back.
I think so
songs,
too. Yeah.
The Long Road, Nickelback. The Long Road, it probably seems like a long trip if you're in the car with somebody and they're
listening,
listening to Nickelback.
Okay, that's our top 10
list. Does anyone really know what time it is? No, does anybody know anybody that likes Nickelback?
Yes,
our phone?
I do.
Where's our phone number?
I told you, Keith.
How about you give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 629-888-2896.
Did you say 629-888-2896?
I said 629-888-2896. That's 629-888-2896.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to rate and review it within your favorite podcast app. You can also visit us on Twitter at 2MADAAM or on Facebook at Two Middle-Aged Dudes. Our website is 2dudes.stream. That's the number 2dudes.stream. If you have questions or comments about the show, you can email us at middleagedudes@gmail.com.